But with this heavenly marriage, we find that the bridegroom is working on the bride now. You don't believe me? Let's turn to the Word. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. When I'm speaking, sometimes I say to people, you put me to the test. You put me to the test. I'm open. I'm open. If there's anything there that I'm wrong or I can be improved with, as Aquila and Priscilla did with somebody, I'm open. I want to learn. But here is the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. It says here in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that, in order that, if you know anything about grammar, we're now going into a purpose clause. This is the purpose for which he loved her and gave himself for her. Yes, to take her to glory and to reign with him and so on. But here's one of the purposes of our Lord, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy, that she may be holy. The should is not so much an obligatory tense, but a possibility tense. It's not a weak one, but it's just one of those subjective moods that a nuance in the Greek language. That she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands, yes, you would have to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you're to be, husbands, like that. But notice, he gave himself to do this work. How are we going? He's working on us. Slowly. But ultimately, he will have that glorious church. He might sanctify it. As a marriage celebrant for 35 years, one of the things that I did enjoy, which you don't look at. Now, if anyone does this, you come to me afterwards in a wedding ceremony. You come to me afterwards and said, yes, I've done this too. Now, as a marriage celebrant, you hear the music, and in walks the bridegrooms, and then in walks the bride. And what happens? In our culture, everyone stands up, and then everyone is looking at whom? The bride. Oh, and all the ladies are swooning, and some of the men might be. looking, all their eyes are on the bride. The bride. Do you know who I look at? I'm at the front here. I look at the bridegroom. Oh, I see the bride, yes, he's coming down. But I look at the bridegroom. Oh, that's a study in itself. I'm going to write a book about it one day. It's a study in itself. I've had one fella faint. Just couldn't, overwhelmed. And another wedding, the celebrant, the wife fainted in the ceremony. Too much for them. Overwhelmed by it all. But I watched the bridegroom, and I've seen that many jaws drop over the years. I wouldn't like to count them. And they see their bride, and I see many of them cry. Out come the handkerchief, crying as they see this beautiful woman coming down as going to be their wife. The bridegroom. That's what the bridegroom thinks about his church. He loved the church and gave himself for her. Or he gave himself for the whole world. But the whole world won't receive him. But for those who will receive him, they will love him. Father, those you have given me, I have given them your word. The wonderful love of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when people stand before the Lord, Almighty God, the big question will be, when they stand before God on the great white throne judgment. Oh yes, the books will come out. The books will come out so that they can work out how much punishment are going to be given to the rejecters. The books will come out. But the question will be, by God the Father, what have you done with my son? What have you done with my son? Yes. Okay. So, there's going to be the work of the Lord Jesus to present his church without spot or wrinkle. And of course, the bride has been preparing herself. Because it says, and the wife has made herself ready. The wife was prepared. I don't believe it's possible to be a believer and not have any works at all. It's an oxymoron. Because true faith is a living faith. But of course there are grades of faith, aren't they? There's no faith, little faith, much faith, great faith, and so on that we read of in the scriptures. And we all come into a category of that, you know. But praise the Lord, we should all be pressing on, pressing on. And it's hard for us to know at what stage we are. We can only judge that, or what stage a believer is. That the whole thing is of grace is illustrated to us by the thief on the cross. Deathbed conversions. Ever had them? Yes. But what about those who have lived, sinned, repented, believed, and then lived for the Lord? Will they come into the category of having to get themselves ready by obedient walk to the Lord, which is reflected in the clothing, the righteousnesses of the saints, the righteous deeds of the believer? Remember I said when you go into the meeting tomorrow, just think about, try and, in your own estimation, just say, I wonder how they're all dressed. Of course, they have the righteousness of Christ imputed to them without reservation. Billy Graham has got the same amount of righteousness imputed to me, to him, as it's been imputed to me and you. It's not the deeds done in the body, but the deed that was done on the cross by the righteous act of one righteous man. The many are accounted righteous. Our righteousness is not what's happened, what's being done in our lives, but it's what was done at Calvary. I'm put right with God and you're put right with God by a righteousness that's outside of yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ. John Bunyan said these words, and I've always been saying to my students, I'm going to frame these and put it in my library house, put it in my library wall. The greatest, John Bunyan, the greatest mystery to me is that me, a sinner on earth, is accepted by God by righteousness that lives up in heaven. The righteousness of Christ. That's my acceptance with God for time and eternity. But then, that's justification, the work of justification. Then there's the work of sanctification. Now God, having imputed unreservedly the righteousness of Christ and the righteousness of God. What a puny thing to try and add to that. To get saved. You can't. Don't insult God. Justification. But there is the work of sanctification. Now that imputed righteousness, God now comes in to impart it in our lives. To do a renovating work to make us like the Lord Jesus Christ. And how much we allow God to do that in our lives will be reflected on that day at the judgment seat of Christ. So it's not just going around rejoicing saying, I've got a one-way ticket to heaven. That's wonderful. I've got a one-way ticket to heaven. I'm on the train. God says, get to work on the train. Get to work on the train. Do a bit of sweeping. Whatever.